and a lot to learn.
And they're always having such a lot of fun. And they know yes! Conway Show, Gina Grad is with us.
Yeah.
That is pretty cool. Hey, I got a really exciting text from a friend of mine. He's an animator on The Simpsons. His name is Lance.
Oh,
right?
Boy, yeah.
And here's what he says. He says, let me see, let me go back here. Here it is. All right. They got the news this morning that The Simpsons is going to be renewed for season 33 and 34.
Wow.
How great is that?
That is huge news.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. It went viral this morning around 10 a.m. And two more seasons, that's 44 episodes. And the 700th episode is coming up March 21st. 700 episodes.
That's so cool. Unreal.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah, there's no shock to anyone that it's being renewed. I think the shock factor is that it's for the 33rd season.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
It's insane.
Is that show that old?
It started in 19...
Tracy Ullman.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I want to say 89...
Man, oh, man.
Am I right about that?
You're asking me.
Yeah, hold on.
You're the math guy.
Yeah, I can't remember. Seriously.
What was that?
There was some dust that was coming down from the roof.
I felt like you were eating sunflower seeds.
I had to blow it out away from me because it probably is COVID.
By the way, thank you very much. December 17th, 1989.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. All right, that's awesome. What a run, though, you know?
Congrats.
And some personnel changes, some, you know, recasting of certain characters. And
yeah.
They're adapting and they're moving forward.
Yeah. Speaking of naming of characters, there's a guy who listens to the program in Michigan. He used to live in Orange County, moved to Michigan.
Where?
Smart guy. Lansing, Michigan.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. That's East Lansing, maybe, or I guess that's mid-state. I don't know. But anyway. So he said he had two new puppies.
Aww.
They got two new puppies, both boys, and he named them Ding and
no.
Dong.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
I told him not to do that.
Why?
That's... Well, Ding, come here, Ding, Ding, come here, come here, Ding. And then it's like, oh, come here, Big Dong. Look at you.
Dong?
Oh, look at, this is my favorite Big Dong.
Who's look. A good Dong? Who's a good Dong?
Right. Oh, Dong, what did you get into? You smell. Oh, get away from me.
Ding, 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 ding.
I don't know. Naming a dog.
Now that you mention it.
Dong.
It's not great.
I don't think it's that great, right?
But when they're running.
Yeah.
It's a ding dong.
Yeah,
ding
dong. Come on. Ding dong with you kids.
It works there.
And I think also ding is too close to dong, right? Because the dog hears the first D, D, and like they both look. Like, who do you want, me or him?
Yeah, it's confusing. Yeah.
They got to rename these dogs.
They have to. You know, there's a friend of mine who had a dog who had winter names and then summer names. He changed his dog's name. He had winter and spring names for the dog and then changed it in summer and fall and had a different name.
I rolled my eyes at first, and then I had this reality check that I've got like 30 names for my dogs. So who am I to judge?
Yeah. All right, there's a procession right now on Channel 10, KDOC. This is very sad. The officer that got killed just a few days ago, he was doing traffic at an accident, has passed away. And now there's a procession on KDOC, which is Channel 10. And it's very, very sad. The procession for the officer that was killed here on KDOC channel.
Crash at MLK and Woodlawn, and the officer was standing in the street working to divert traffic around this crash when another vehicle hit him. He was rushed to County USC Medical Center where he remained through the weekend, but today we understand that he passed away just a little while ago. The officer's name is Jose Anzora. Jose Anzora passed away after 10 years of duty on the force, and according to Chief Michael Moore, he said this statement: statement delivered just a few minutes ago. Our deepest condolences go out to Officer Anzora's wife, family, colleagues, and friends in this most difficult time. His passing is a loss for not only his brothers and sisters in the LAPD, but for the people of Los Angeles for whom he gave his life. Officer Anzora is survived by his wife, his mother, and his family. And Colleen, as you watch these pictures and this procession is about to get underway, you, your father, served in the force, and this has to pull at your heartstrings as well.
Almost every time I watch this, I sort of have to turn away because I know what a family is thinking. Because, you know, every police officer's family, they don't really ever say when your parent or your father goes out to work or your mother, you never say, have a great day. You always say, be safe. And it's really, I mean, he's directing traffic. It's impossible to imagine what these poor families are going through. And then for all these law enforcement officers, you have a tough job and you rely on each other to help you. So when it's a time of need, everybody comes together and it's with a very heavy heart, and I'm sure they have their mourning bands on. And it's very sad to see and such a powerful show of the lights. And this, it always tugs at my heartstrings.
And yeah, a reminder to all of these officers who are there on the line.
Wow, look
as
at
you
that.
Look at this picture of the procession and the direction it's going to go. And there's a picture from our ground crew as well, as these officers are standing at attention waiting for the procession to go by. But a reminder to all of them that what they do is dangerous work, and it takes a great deal of sacrifice, and in some cases it is the ultimate sacrifice, in this case in particular for Officer Jose Anzora. So this, we thought, was a bad situation from the start. He was rushed to County USC Medical Center. We were watching this story closely on Friday evening, and I remember it well, when we saw a number of officers arrive at the hospital when he was taken there, and we thought, this looks very serious. He survived through the weekend and through yesterday, but he passed away earlier today. And another very sobering part of the statement from Chief Michael Moore was, he said this: in memory of Officer Anzora, Chief Moore has authorized the wearing of mourning bands, which we have sadly already been wearing, in honor of LASD Deputy Thomas Albanese. Thomas Albanese was that sheriff's deputy who was killed last week on his motorcycle. In fact, there were three accidents involving law enforcement officers in our community last week. Two of them passed away.
It is so sad. And you were talking about all the law enforcement coming to the hospital. You know, that's obviously seems like it would be a very bad sign, but I bet the officer didn't even probably know a lot of the officers who came to pay their respects when he was in the hospital. Yeah, you're seeing the coroners now. You can see the procession is about to begin, and you saw the firefighters. They have their ladders out, sort of.
Is this the coroner's office, or is that the hospital?
They all do dangerous work.
I think it's the hospital.
Any given day, this could be.
And they're heading
them,
over to the
both, law enforcement as well
mortuary.
As firefighters.
They're oh, they are. Okay. Where is this downtown?
Chicago Street.
Yeah, it's
this
over at USC Medical.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, you got to see when, if you watch the news tonight, if you're not home, if you're driving, you got to turn the news on tonight to see how many cop cars are lining the street. They're going to probably turn right when they come out the driveway here. And then they're going to go right up the street here, and there's probably hundreds of cops and cars and fire trucks lining the street. And they already have the fire truck out there with the big American flag draped over it.
Be able to see this up close from our ground crew, which is on the street, as well as you see the casket, which is being delivered in that van right there, taken to the coroner's office.
And, you know, you see all these people out there, David, and they're lining the streets and all these.
It's on KDOC right now, channel.
My father's attended many.
Whatever, I think it's 56, channel 10 for us here.
Family dinner or whatever we were doing to stand alongside.
But they did say, Tim, that they are taking him to the coroner's office. So
my mistake on the mortuary. Or another police officer. A lot of these officers and firefighters, they're coming out. It's their night off, and they're coming out just to stand here in solidarity to watch his body being taken to his memorial.
There you see the ground crew on the right-hand side of your screen as the procession approaches that camera as well. And our photographer has been standing with some of the officers who will be standing at attention. There you see their backs right there as they wait for this procession to go on by. A sobering scene. And Colleen, it's sad to say, but we're seeing this all too often. I remember there was a time in the news business where when we saw a procession like this, it was a rare rarity.
It was very rare.
And you can't say that as of lately. Between the violence on the streets to the dangers on these traffic accidents to even coronavirus, all too many of our men and women in uniform have fallen through a variety of circumstances, and this is yet another one today. We just had this last week as well.
Oh, it's sad to see the airship flying right overhead, David, because we're so used to seeing these airships flying around really quickly above sort of pursuits or when they're looking for a suspect with their night sun on. That also just shows you it's a very somber evening, yeah. And you are right. These scenes are becoming all too familiar, and at one point, it was so rare to see anything like this.
It was rare. In fact, we sometimes would have to review.
They're going to go down the street here. That's where all the cop cars are.
An officer has fallen.
Yeah, it looks like the distance between County USC and the coroner's office is only half a mile.
Oh, I see.
A police officer
straight down that road where everybody's lined up.
10 years ago,
it looks like mostly LAPD, but there's a couple of sheriff's cars there too.
Brave work. Yeah, a couple of fire trucks as well with their ladders.
Terrible accident that happened on Friday night when he was simply.
That's horrible. All right, we have to take a break here. But, you know, Deborah, when you and I were on the air and we were both watching that, the ambulance went to Cedars-Sinai without their lights on.
I know.
And that's why we thought it was probably not a big deal.
We didn't think it was a big deal. Exactly. I know. I was pretty surprised when I reported, I think, a half an hour ago that he passed away today.
Yeah. No, that's there was an ambulance taking him to not the nearest hospital, but taking him to Cedars-Sinai from South L.A. And there were two cop cars following him. And the cop cars nor the ambulance had their lights or sirens on. And so we thought, you know, maybe broke an ankle or hurt himself, or, you know, an arm or something.
And in fact, I think I even said that he was expected to be okay. I think that was the information that we got at the time.
Something happened there. All right. If any more information comes on this, we'll have it for you. But try to watch the news tonight, the 10 o'clock or the 11 o'clock news, just to see how many cops show up for these types of, you know, horrible events.
I hope it brings the family some kind of solace, even if they're too numb to see it and feel it now.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. All right, we're live on KFI AM 640. KFI AM 640, it's Conway Show. Gina Grad is with us. You know, Gina, you're a Hollywood type, right? You've gone out for auditions and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm in the look at me business.
That's right. Okay, ding dong with you.
Yeah.
But, you know, when an actress is hired, or an actor, I should say, when is hired for a job and he or she, you know, hired because they're good looking, right?
Mm.
And then they put on a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm.
The producer probably talks to them about it.
Yeah, I think they have a little heart to heart.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, we hired you as, you know, one of the Baywatch gals.
Right.
And, you know, now you're, you know, in the IHOP too much. Right?
Good's not as advertised.
Right. Exactly. But I'm wondering if that's a two-way street. Like, if somebody was hired because they're the big, fat, lovable guy or gal, and then they lose a lot of weight, then the producer goes, hey, bud, you got to slow down with those health shakes.
I think that's a really good point, actually.
I don't know if it happens that way.
Well, I don't either, but you think of shows like, you know, King of Queens.
Right.
When you have, you know, Kevin James, this big giant teddy bear of a guy, and you have little Leah Remini, or Mike and Molly, which was about two, you know, big, beautiful people.
Right.
And yeah, that's a good question.
I don't know.
That's part of the theme of the show.
But you can't, I mean, look, the producer probably would get sued and canceled if they're wait a minute, you're trying to get healthy here? No. We hired you because you were, you know, 600 pounds.
I think the window has closed on those conversations.
Yeah, I think both ways.
I think you're right.
You know, I mean, it's very, very difficult to say to somebody, hey, you know, you're losing too much weight or gaining too much weight.
You know how I think they could get away with it if it was like a character actor? I don't know. But you're not as funny anymore. I can't put my finger on it.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to lose the one thing that everyone that you're known for,
right?
You know, it's kind of silly.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't know if you saw this story, Gina. I'm sure you do because you cover news a lot.
I do.
You know, when you're not opening up one of those 900 liquor bottles in your joint. But did you see this? You know, Burroughs High School has a baseball team. Did you read that story? Did you see that story?
Burroughs. No,
yeah.
Let me see.
It's in Burbank, and what they did is the seniors got together. They were on the team, and they all put their uniforms on with the masks and everything.
Yep.
They went to Burroughs High School. They took the masks off, took a photo, put a mask back on, and They were suspended for 2 weeks for doing that, for not being safe on campus. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, they're going to be on, it's going to be on Channel 7 here in a moment. You know what? These kids need a break. They don't need any more, you know, punishment at all.
Yeah. What is it, like 7 or 8 kids?
Yeah.
And the poor quote was, the boys are just trying to make their moms happy.
Right. And you know what? I will say the one positive thing that's come out of it is that photo probably would have been seen by 50 people.
At most.
Max.
Yeah.
Now it's hundreds of thousands or millions of people.
Right.
Right. And they'll have that photo forever. And they can tell, you know, their kids and their grandkids how rebellious they were.
Yeah, they made waves. And there's two pictures. In one of them, they are socially distant.
Right.
They're up and down the stairs together. So
right.
What's the problem?
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, it really is. Look, I know, you know, Matt Hill, he's a friend of mine, the superintendent. You know, we go to lunch and stuff like that. But I think that these guys went way over the line, suspending not just the seniors, the entire team for 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's insane.
The entire team got suspended.
That's insane.
You know, for 2 weeks. That is nuts. And again, these are all good kids. And I hope that doesn't go on their permanent record. Right. When they try to get into college.
Right. Well, and they're going to have a hard enough time being recruited or getting a baseball scholarship now.
Right.
There is no baseball.
That's right. And so
give them a break.
Yeah, I think these kids need a break. The way I would have handled it is, look, these kids shouldn't have done that. We're not going to get down them. But please, in the future, don't anyone else do it.
Yeah.
Right. Boom. And everything would have been fine.
And we're done.
But now, you know, that decision to suspend them is now the source of a lot of talk radio conversation across the country. And it's going to be on ABC. It was on NBC last night and KCAL. And it's blowing up because, you know, these are good kids. I mean, I don't know, but I'm, you know, they're you know, if you're on the baseball team, you seem like a decent kid. Right?
And that's the thing. I mean, as much as there's a glass half empty slippery slope version of this for the school, it's bad optics.
Yeah.
Leave these poor guys alone.
I know. These poor kids, man. They're just, you know, it's not like they were, you know, on campus playing baseball for 4 hours, you know, and, you know, with 9,000 people watching.
As Shannon Farron would say, they weren't going around licking doorknobs.
That's right.
They took a picture outside, spaced out on some steps.
Yeah. So they're going to, I think we're going to have one of the parents on tomorrow on this program here. And then we also, it's going to be on channel KDOC here in a minute as well on ABC. ABC has a deal with KDOC. Oh, it's on right now. Let's turn the volume up here. Here it is.
On afterward, and we thought it was the end.
But it wasn't the end at all. Why these photos led to these local high school seniors being suspended. Good evening, I'm David Arnold.
And I'm Colleen Sullivan. This is Eyewitness News on KDOC-TV, LA's only live local newscast at 7:30 p.m.
True.
The group of Burbank seniors spent most of the school year unsure whether they'd even have a chance to play baseball during their final year of high school.
Well, now a pair of photos meant for their yearbook is keeping them off the diamond once again. And Eyewitness News reporter Leo Stallworth has reaction from players and the school district.
You are looking at the seniors on the John Burroughs High School varsity baseball team in Burbank. The picture taken in January is part of a two-decade tradition for varsity seniors on the team to take a photo together for the yearbook. The moms of the athletes organizing the photo op, which ended up on social media. The Burbank Unified School District seeing the picture and punishing the players for violating COVID safety protocols, not wearing masks, and proper social distancing. The entire varsity baseball team suspended from organized practice or conditioning drills for a week, and all 8 seniors on the team in the photo suspended for 2 weeks.
The district and board members decided, or they tried to cancel the whole varsity season as a result of the pictures. But our athletic director and coach fought for us, and they compromised on a 2-week suspension instead.
The district issuing this statement, I have decided to delay the return of athletic conditioning for the John Burroughs High School baseball team by 1 week so that the team can review health guidelines and safety protocols. I look forward to the team beginning conditioning on Monday safely.
I'm very disappointed that, you know, our kids are being punished for something that the moms arranged, and I understand that there are COVID protocols, but the boys were just trying to make us happy.
I feel very disappointed. Our season got cut last year. We didn't get to finish it. Our whole senior year
horrible.
Got taken away.
All right, we
got to
take
year.
A break here. You know, I always tell these kids, don't listen to your mom. She'll get you in trouble.
That's right.
Stop listening to
That's
your mom.
That's not right.
All right. We're live on KFI. It's Conway and Gina Grad. 6:40. It's Conway Show. Gina Grad is with us.
Hey, hey.
Every Wednesday. Back to school. 7 California counties are reopening the school. Let's find out where.
Here in California, Governor Newsom continued his tour of vaccination sites across the state, including a stop in Ventura County tonight. It comes as...
The guy's all over the place, right? After that recall got out there, man. His kids haven't seen him in 2 months. He's getting out there, this guy. Okay, never, ever left Sacramento during COVID. And all of a sudden, the recall's around. He's like, I'm going to be in Ventura at 3. I'll be in San Diego at 4.
Oh, he's hot-footing it all over town.
Yeah, San Bernardino at 5. Catch me wherever you can.
It comes as there's been a promising push forward in the battle against the virus. New cases and deaths are plunging statewide, and vaccinations are rapidly increasing.
But health officials stress our fight is not yet over. KTLA's Jennifer McGraw is live in Camarillo, where the governor spoke earlier this evening. Jennifer.
Okay, now, do you think... Gina Grad, you know the news business pretty well.
Pretty well.
Do you think they're going to mention the recall? It's a 2 minute story. Wait a minute. Let me see how long exactly it is here. Okay. It's a minute 45. Will they mention the recall?
I hate to be jaded, but no, I don't think they will.
I'm going to go the opposite just because I like the action.
All
but
right.
I think you're right.
Chair Mica, that's right. And he says that Johnson & Johnson vaccine will soon be heading to California. He stressed that prioritizing teachers to get back to class needs to happen, but says that there's still a major shortage of supplies.
Thank you, Senator.
Ventura County leaders and health professionals administering the vaccine welcoming the governor with applause.
Ventura County, job well done.
That was inside. Outside, a different story.
I think I'm here. I think I got it here.
They're not doing enough. Met with harsh criticism following the guidelines of reopening schools. When they tell us it's all about the red tier, that doesn't really make sense.
All right, I'm getting close.
Yeah,
I'm getting close.
Getting warmer.
If you have 3 schools that are able to open in the exact same county before we've fallen into the red tier, why is it that we have other high schools and middle schools who aren't ready? And attacking the billions to incentivize schools to get back to class.
What does go back mean? Does it mean one day a week and they get all the money? Or does it mean that these kids are actually back in school?
That's in Ventura. In L.A. County, no public school kids are back in class. Governor Newsom says that's why more vaccines are rolling out there.
We did 25,000 doses of vaccine. Mm-hmm. We announced that specifically yesterday, targeted to that school district specifically.
Okay, so far we've got less than a minute left and you're winning.
But as for the statewide push of April 9th to get back to class, he didn't have an answer.
We are committed to getting those teachers safely back into school.
Students say it's been a tough year and want state and local leaders to be doing more.
You think that if you let us go back, you're going to ruin our lives? You're ruining our life right now.
Yeah, you can hear it in her voice.
Yeah, well said.
She's done. I mean, all these kids are depressed out of their mind. They're falling apart, these kids.
You think that if you let us go back, you're going to ruin our lives? You're ruining our life right now.
Newsom tweeting earlier today that the governor of Texas is reckless when asked about that tonight. He says that, in fact, he believes that in California, we won't be doing that anytime soon by taking off our masks. Live here in Ventura County,
win.
Jennifer McGraw, KTLA 5 News.
Isn't that crazy? The guy's out there, you know, making stop after stop because of this recall, and most of the local news, they just don't want to talk about it.
Well, and, you know, it's funny because as soon as, the mighty falls, then the word disgraced is always in front of your name. The disgraced media mogul, the disgraced. I think he'll do anything to keep the disgraced governor from showing up in headlines.
Yeah, it's weird, though, that Cuomo, who some claim or is, has his, blood on his hands over the 15,000 seniors that died in Manhattan. The news never really covered that. But then, when he had 3 women come forward and said they made him feel uncomfortable, then boom, the hatchet came down.
That's right. Do you think they're going to take away his Emmy?
I don't know. It's weird how with this Governor Cuomo, it's not just Republicans, it's Democrats, too, that are saying, he's constantly threatening people.
Yeah. And, you got to at least hand it to the consistency of the party.
Yeah.
They'll take down their own just as happy as they'll take down you.
I know. And they sort of, they're sort of like ex-smokers. You know, like the worst person in the world to smoke around is an ex-smoker. You know, because they'll rip your face off for smoking.
They take it extra personally.
Right, yeah. Because they smoked and they understand, you know, they miss it and you're still smoking. Right. Like, oh, you're not going to enjoy this, buddy. You're going to go down for this. If you ever been to a party and somebody lights up a cigarette in the back, it's always the first ex-smoker that goes, who's smoking?
Who's smoking?
They're the last people that take grief from everybody, man.
Oh, wow.
It is easier to be in, you know, in almost any other category in the world, and nobody will make fun of you. But, man, if you're smoking, man, you're looked at like a scumbag. It's horrible.
I think you're right, because non-smokers at a party will find this one and go, hey, give me a puff. Just one. I just want to see what it's like.
Right. Or just get near it to smell it, you know?
Exactly.
Like, I find myself doing that. I don't smoke anymore. But I find myself, if I'm at a stoplight and there's a guy, like, on a bus bench or a guy, you know, smoking near me, I'll roll the window down to try to smell that.
Just get a whiff.
Yeah. I just want to smell what he's – or if a guy in front of me – At a stoplight is smoking and his window's open, I'll open mine just to see if I can smell it. I love that smell, man. But can't do it anymore. Sucks. But I will say this. Every cigarette I ever had was beautiful.
Oh, you're wistful for the old days.
But you just can't do it, right? Because you do. You end up in the hospital with a hole in your throat.
That's right.
And then that's no good. All right. We're live on KFIM 640. It's Conway and Gina Grab. KFI AM 640. It is the Conway Show. Gina Grad is with us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ding dong with you.
Yeah.
All right. There was a story here. Let's see. I just lost it. Here it is. Okay. This is Texas. We were going to talk about this earlier. Texas reopening. Let's find out what's going on with Texas.
Hi there, Lou. President Biden said the country is months ahead of schedule and that the U.S. will now have enough COVID vaccines available for everyone by late spring.
Good.
But he's concerned about states removing pandemic protocols. Even members of the CDC, they've cautioned the public to continue practicing recommended health guidelines.
Just hours after President Biden's big announcement that the nation will soon hit a major mark in this pandemic.
We're now on track to have enough vaccine supply for every adult in America by the end of May.
With states prioritizing vaccines to teachers during the month of March, the governor of Texas also announced huge changes for his region. Plans to reopen the Lone Star State starting next week.
Too many Texans have been sidelined from employment opportunities. Too many small business owners have struggled to pay their bills. This must end.
Governor Greg Abbott not only cleared the way for all businesses to fully reopen with no capacity restrictions, but he also ended the statewide mask mandate, saying this was a necessary move to revitalize the economy since Texas has already administered more than 5.7 million vaccines to the public.
Wait, does this mean, Gina, in your opinion, does this mean when they play baseball or football, it's full capacity?
No.
It sounds like it is.
It can't be.
I think it is. You know? By the way, do you see these new strange rules with sports? You know, the Pittsburgh Penguins, the hockey team, they just allowed fans to come back into their stadium. But you can only have like three together, and then you have two rows empty, another three together.
Yep.
But you know the rule when it comes to these games?
What?
You have to come in, you sit in your seat, and you sit there for the game.
Oh, no.
You do not move.
No, because I got to pee a bunch of times, and I want some overly salted chips. I want some processed cheese. I need to get up. I need to stretch my legs. Come on, man.
You know what was great with sports? When this is a game changer for me when it comes to sports, because I loved the nachos with that cheese crap on it.
Yeah,
and they used to just pour it over the chips, and you had to race back to get to your seat before the chips got soggy.
Yes, like when they do the little hot tub.
Right, that's changed the world for me.
Yeah, me too.
The little cheese hot tub, where now you don't have to, you know, panic. The cheese stays warm, and you can eat. You can spend the entire period eating. You know, just a little here, a little there,
and you get to control the amount.
That's right. Right.
Not whoever squirted that on for you. By the way, I think you're right. And this is one of those things where I couldn't possibly have heard full capacity because we're so not used to that. But I'm looking at an article right here, currently planning for attendance at 2021 home games to be at 100% seating capacity.
Wow.
Insane. But my mind won't let me hear that.
Right. That's going to be a disaster, or nothing's going to happen.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. One or the other.
Yeah, one or the other.
Something or nothing.
That's exactly right.
Breaking a record on Tuesday with more than 215,000 people inoculated in just one day. But many are concerned easing these mandates could trigger spikes in infections and deaths, especially with the CDC's recommendations against lifting health protocols during this crisis.
There you go. All right. Anyway, I heard a story. I think Deborah Mark was reporting on this. That there was a chicken or a rooster.
Rooster.
Yes.
That was training to do some cockfighting.
Yeah.
And killed the owner.
Yeah. A knife. A knife was tied onto that rooster. And.
Is the rooster still alive?
I don't have that information.
I see.
But I don't want to put words in your mouth, Deborah, but how much do you love this story? Well. I don't want to get emails from listeners, so I'm not going to say anything, but you can imagine.
Yeah.
Well, wait. There's going to be, what, like 10,000 pro-cockfighting emails?
Oh, because people say that I care more about animals than people, and la-da-da-da-da, and don't laugh at this, and don't laugh at that.
Now, here's the question I have. The next rooster that gets into the ring with that rooster?
Oh, yeah.
He's got to be essing his feathers.
Oh, I'm sure.
Right?
If that rooster is still here, I mean, I assume
that rooster took out his owner.
I'm assuming a family member of the owner is quite pissed and maybe did something to that rooster, but you never know.
Look, that's your number one rooster.
That's true. You don't get rid of that true. Guy. You're right.
Yeah,
you're
no,
right.
You got to. As a matter of fact, that you got to put that little belt around him. You know,
he's strap.
Yeah, he's taking out human beings. Right. You don't think he could take out the next rooster that comes along?
Yeah.
Man, it's going to be odd. He's the chalk. Odds on favorite on this guy.
God, I hate
what's his name, though? I mean, they all have names.
I don't have the name in the story.
Yeah.
We can make a name up.
There's no name in that story, though.
No.
Huh?
I mean, not the story I have. I'm sure I can dig a little deeper and find it.
Yeah, I'd like to know that rooster's name, man. That guy's got to be. And he's got to have some stories when he goes back. And the hen of his choice, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
He's a stud. Themselves at
yeah,
him.
Look at me. But let me tell you what happened, kids. All right. We're live on KFI AM 640.